end of Hebrews by May. It's a good word. I'm excited to be able to preach through that. But for this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the events that led up to and followed the cross. Today's Palm Sunday, you already know that. Next Friday, we're going to be there for Good Friday and looking at the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross. Really, really, really want to invite you and encourage you to be a part of that service. And then, of course, on Sunday, we're going to be looking at the resurrection and the life of Jesus and what he calls us to in his coming kingdom. So today, as we look at Palm Sunday, I've prepared, got a video here for you that I think is a historically accurate depiction of how people would have expected a ruler to enter into a city. Okay, that's what we're talking about on Palm Sunday, is Jesus entering into a city where he's got all authority to rule and reign. He is the rightful King of Kings, and here he comes down the mountain, and he enters into his kingdom in an unusual way. We see him coming in on a donkey, which is a symbol of peace, instead of with the acclamation and the war horse and the triumphant entry of what any other ruler would have done in the day. So we've got a video here that I think gives an accurate depiction of what people would have expected when they saw a ruler coming into his city. Go ahead, Yusuf. That's you.
Jafar, you must come and see this.
To the west in the old bazaar.
Hey, you!
Let us through, it's a bright new star. Oh, come be the first on your block to meet his eye. Make way, here he comes. Ring bells, bang the drum. Are you gonna love this guy? Prince Ali, fabulous he, Ali Ababa. Genuflect, show some respect down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Sunday salon. And come and meet his spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty is he, Ali Ababa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely.
He faced the galloping hordes.
100 bad guys with swords.
Who sent those goons to their lord?
Why, Prince Ali.
He's got 75 golden cattle.
Don't they look lovely, June?
Fabulous, Harry. I love the feathers.
When it comes to exotic type mammals,
has he got a zoo?
And I'm telling you, it's a world-class menagerie.
Prince Ali has the best Ali Ababa. That's a day. How can I speak? Wake up the neck. Well, get on out in that square. Adjust your veil and prepare to gawk and grovel and stare at Prince Ali.
He's got 95 white birds and mummies.
We got the monkeys. Let's see the monkeys.
Two dandy stars, it's no
fees. He's generous, he'll get her
at great. He's got servants and monkeys.
Proud to work where they bow to. He's been loved serving him. They're just lousy with loyalty to a
your princess was a sight lovely to see. And that good people is why he got dialed up and dropped by.
With 60 elephants, numbers galore, with his bears and lions and friends and more, with his 40 bakers and cooks and bakers and birds and wanderers.
Splendid, absolutely marvelous.
Yeah. So, the Disney movie. So I said it's an accurate depiction of what they expected, not exactly what might have happened that day. But I think when people expected a ruler to come in, they expected a big show. They expected him to come riding in with all, showing off all his riches, his treasures, who he was and what he was capable of doing, to come in with an army behind you and just show off all of who you are to everybody so that they can see this is somebody. We got to pay attention, stop everything. This guy is worth something. And when we see Jesus' triumphal entry, it's a little bit less showy than Aladdin's, with a lot more humility. Here's the rightful King of Kings of the entire universe making his entry into the city that is rightfully his to reclaim the people that are rightfully his. He's got all authority on heaven and earth, all power on heaven and earth have been given to him, and he chooses to enter on a donkey. Lowly, just gently and with humility, he enters in on a donkey. People of the day would have understood that the donkey was a symbol of peace. And if the king were coming to reclaim his throne by a show of force, he would have come in on a war horse with an army. Announcements, he's coming back and he's going to conquer and nothing is going to get in his way. Jesus comes on a donkey in peace. He's got all authority to do this. Not because he doesn't have the ability to do all that stuff that we saw in the video of Aladdin. You know, Jesus has all authority and all power, much more than even the genie exhibits in that video. Know how I know that? Because in Aladdin, if you're watching closely and you're a deep theological scholar, you'll see that there are things that limited the genie. He says, I have phenomenal cosmic power! Itty-bitty living space. Jesus is not restricted to an itty-bitty living space. He's got more than phenomenal cosmic power. And even the genie says, I still have some limitations. There's three things the genie can't do. One of them is he can't raise the dead. Can Jesus raise the dead? Absolutely he can. Jesus can raise the dead. He's got phenomenal cosmic power. He's got no limits. Nothing can hold him back. And yet he chooses to enter his kingdom on a donkey in peace. We've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount on Fridays at youth group. Specifically, we've been in the Beatitudes for the last 5 or 6 weeks. We've been talking about the Beatitudes. One of them that's been stuck in my mind and has been, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That word that's translated meek there is the same word that describes how Jesus enters Jerusalem this day. It says that he entered lowly on a donkey with gentleness. That word gentleness is the same word meek. When Jesus enters with meekness into his kingdom, it's not saying that he's entering in weakness. Okay? It's not just saying he's timidly coming into the kingdom. Meekness, as Daryl and I talked about, the best definition that I've heard so far came from Daryl. He said, meekness is power under control. And that's what Jesus exhibits here at Palm Sunday. He's got every right to come in with the fanfare, with the armies, with a show of force and treasures and everything. And he chooses to control all of that, even though all authority and power has been given to him. And he comes in on a donkey, showing peace. Jesus says, the meek will inherit the earth. And he's the ultimate fulfillment of that saying on this day, when Jesus enters with meekness. You know what he's going to inherit? The entire earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus is the fulfillment, complete fulfillment of that phrase here at Palm Sunday when he chooses to put his power under control and enter in peace on a donkey. You guys with me? We got real deep, real fast. Let's talk some more about... Yeah. You guys want to talk more about meekness or move on? Because I think there are some interesting things that came to mind as we were studying meekness with the youth group. And they actually brought this forward to me, brought this to my attention. We're trying to find a good way of explaining what the word meekness is, not because meek doesn't describe it. We just don't use the word meek very much in our daily language. Power under control, I think, is an excellent translation of that. Humility definitely captures that. Gentleness definitely captures the essence. But to make sense for our young guys, we put it in terms of James Bond as an example of meekness. I've got a couple raised eyebrows. But when the French translate this word, blessed are the meek, or Jesus entered gently, they use the word debonair. And that gives a whole different flavor to the word. Of meek, of what it means to be meek, to have power under control. It's not at all weak. This is somebody who has the authority, has the power, has strength, has treasures, everything he needs to get the job done. So like James Bond walks into a room, you know that Q has equipped him with a watch that shoots laser beams. You know that he's got the car that shoots rockets. He's got all this equipment and power. He's been empowered by the government to do a certain job. And yet he walks in and he just says, Bond, James Bond. Like real slick in a tuxedo, not showing off at all. Okay? That was our good example as James Bond, and then it falls apart because as you watch the end of the movie, he starts shooting off the rockets and it's a big show and everything. James Bond is not going to inherit the earth. Jesus will. But it starts as a good illustration of what it is to be meek, to have that power and that authority, but then to use it under control. That's what Jesus exhibits at Palm Sunday. The opposite of that then, which Stevie brought to my attention, I keep pointing to Wesley, but you're not Stevie, are you? Stevie said, well, the opposite, if power under control is James Bond, is debonair, is meekness, is Jesus, that's power under control. The opposite of that then would be a guy like the Hulk, who's got a lot of power but absolutely no restraint. Like just when he gets mad, he hulks out, he's got the muscle, and he goes and he hurts everybody in his path, even friends, foes, everything. That's the opposite of meekness. It's this showy, like out of control force and power. Jesus says that's not the kind of person that's going to inherit the earth. It's the meek. It's the power under control. And ultimately, that power under control is exhibited at Palm Sunday when Jesus, with all authority and all power, enters peacefully on a donkey. So that's how he enters. Not showing off, not on a war horse with fanfare. Even though he's the rightful king of that city, he enters in peace with power under control. So let's remember that today. But if that's all we do is just remember what happened that day, we're missing the point of Palm Sunday. It's not just to remember that day, but knowing that Jesus still is choosing to usher in his kingdom today by extending an invitation of peace at a time of peace. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all authority, all power, is entering today into this room saying, I want you to join in my kingdom. I want you to be a part of this. And right now, I'm extending to you an invitation at a time of peace. Will you be a part of my kingdom? I already rule your home. I already rule your neighborhood. I already rule. I have rightful authority to all these places, including your heart. Do you want to join me in this time of peace? There's an invitation now when Jesus walks in, lowly on a donkey, and says, hey, I love you so much. I want you to know what it is to receive my love today, to enter into my kingdom and to see my power under control of the one who's got all wisdom, to see what that can do when that enters into your life. The symbol of palms, this is something I think that we all often miss too. What was the importance of palms? This is a sidetrack, but I'm already there. I've already distracted you guys. My family is from Latvia. We're Latvians. And I was doing a little Palm Sunday research, and they said in parts of the world where you can't get palms, they substitute other things. And in Latvia, they substitute palms for pussy willow. And their tradition there is to wake up the kids with smacking them in the face with it. Wake up! I'm glad that we live in America and we have access to palms. But what they would have understood that to mean palms in the original day, everybody knew. Palms is a symbol of victory. They'd put it on their money. They'd put it on their buildings. Palms symbolize victory. So when the people saw Jesus coming down the mountain where he started his earthly ministry, preaching the Sermon on the Mount, preaching that the meek shall inherit the earth, he comes down from that same mountain in peace on a donkey, and the people recognize this as the rightful King of Kings, the rightful ruler of that city, the rightful ruler of their hearts, and they proclaim victory by taking these palms and laying the road down with victory ahead of Jesus. The palms on the road were a symbol of victory, and Jesus, marching down as the rightful King of Kings and all authority, is marching down on a road of victory that day on Palm Sunday. We've got to do that in our hearts today. Where in your hearts do you need to lay the road of victory for Jesus to come and be the rightful King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your heart? If we only remember that day, like we have to remember this because it's a good story to remember and a good story to tell, but if we only remember, we don't do anything about that day, if we don't prepare the way in our hearts, we miss the point of Palm Sunday. We've got to figure out where in our hearts have we held back from Jesus. And I'm asking you now too, I'm not going to ask anybody to say this out loud, but examine your heart. Is there a corner of your heart that's still held back from him? Jesus is the King of Kings of your heart. Where do you still need to yield control and power to him? Where do you need to make it easy access for Jesus to get at your heart? Where do you need to lay down the palms of victory so that Jesus can come forward, rightful King of Kings, marching on a path of victory into your heart? Where is that? Luke 19. This is the Palm Sunday message is one that's in all four Gospels. We're reading from Matthew 21. We saw that up there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all tell the same story of Jesus triumphantly entering in peace, the rightful King of Kings, and today a whole city recognizes that's who he is. But Luke adds in this part of the story, makes it a little bit clear that there's not everybody was on Jesus' side that day. Not everybody was so excited that the King of Kings is being celebrated in victory that day in that city. In Luke 19, verse 39, it describes the interaction that Jesus had with the Pharisees. He says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. I'm the Lord of this universe. And if these people don't proclaim my name here on this day, then the whole universe is going to burst forth with praise. Burst forth. They know that I'm the King of Kings. And if these people stopped, the rocks would cry out in praise." And he says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it then. And he said, to the city that he's the rightful king of, he says, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come on you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." He's got a broken heart for this city, because even though most of the city still recognizes him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they've welcomed him in with victory, some of them still are not seeing this. They don't realize what Christ's kingdom is going to do for this world. They don't realize what it's going to do for their heart, and so they still are building up walls against him, building up defenses, maybe even building up armies against Jesus. He says, "You didn't know the peace that I was going to bring to you. You didn't know the freedom. You didn't know the life that I was bringing to you. And you built up walls against it. And because you're building up walls against me and you missed the day when peace came to you, when life came to you, when the Son of God came to you, when the King of Kings came to you, because you missed that day, you're going to miss it for eternity. You're going to be at war with me." Jesus talks about this throughout his ministry, as there's going to be a time when there's a separation between the people who recognize Jesus as the King of Kings and gave him authority as if he needed it, but yielded to him, made wide the roads in their heart for victory in their life. So there's going to be coming a day when those people are separated from those who are at war with me, who built up defenses. And that day is not going to look pretty. I was just reminded of, I can't remember where the verse is, but again, since I'm there now. There's a verse in, I think it's Philippians, I might be wrong about this. one of the epistles where it talks about those of you who know Jesus, your life is an aroma pleasing to God, and it's attractive to other people. And the life that you live, knowing that Jesus is King of Kings, smells so good to everybody else because you're the aroma of Christ. To some of them, people that smell that way that you live is going to draw them into Christ. But then to others, that same smell of Christ and life and freedom is going to be such a wretched smell, and they're just going to be appalled by it. To one, is that smell is life. To the other, it's death. And that's a clear message throughout Scripture that, you know, from my last couple sermons, I've been wrestling with this, that there's going to be a separating day. See, there's the crowds that Jesus saw on Palm Sunday, and when they're all shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, welcome the King of Kings, they're laying the path to victory. And then a week later, how many of them do you think are the same crowd shouting, Crucify Him? Even the 12 disciples, by the end of that week, one of them has sold Him out. One of them has denied Him 3 times. The rest of them have all scattered. So even in a crowd, it winnows down to like hardly anything. Who can tell what's in their hearts but God? He says it's that work that is entrusted to Jesus to judge the hearts of men and to know who in that huge crowd, who in that group of 12, even what parts of you in your heart are not yielded to King of Kings. He says there's going to come a day when there's a separating. Jesus talks about it in terms of sheep and the goats when He separates this crowd and He weeds it out. And He talks about in terms of the wheat and the weeds. And we're going to let them grow up together. But at the time of harvest, we're going to cut them down and we're going to throw the weeds away to be burned. And then the wheat is going to be kept. He talks about it in terms of righteous and the wicked. There's going to be a separating one day of those who have yielded their hearts to the King of Kings and those who have built up walls against Him. Jesus comes on Palm Sunday in peace, saying, I want you to be on my side of this. I want you to know what the peace of living with Christ in your heart is. I want you to know the freedom that that brings and the life that that brings. I want you to know what it is to have the powerful God of the universe at work in your life. If you yield your heart to me, who knows what Jesus is going to do when that power and authority is loosed in your life to see what Jesus is going to be able to do. Cannot wait to see. Some of you guys already know what that is, and you've got awesome testimonies and stories of Jesus at work in your life, transforming and doing incredible things, and your life is like that aroma, pleasing and attractive to some. And then others, like, well, let's stay there. If you've known that life, chances are really, really good that one of the works that He's been doing in your heart is putting somebody else on your heart that He cares about that doesn't know Him yet. I've heard a lot of good stories lately and seen people arranging phone calls and stuff in this church, and that's very, very good testimony, of people getting together and fasting for a family member that needs to know Jesus. They're coordinating, like, once a week, we're going to fast at these hours of the day, and that's awesome. That is evidence of the kingdom happening here because God's heart is breaking inside of your heart for these people. When we see people turning to prayer on behalf of somebody else, that's evidence of the kingdom coming. And I think we're going to start seeing more of that. So God breaks your heart for those who don't know Him. And chances are, that person's thinking, like, I don't know what they've got their reservations. Who knows what's going on in their hearts and minds? They're against Jesus right now. They don't know the peace and the joy and the life and the freedom that you know of having Jesus in your heart. They don't know that that's what they're against. And here, let me free you guys this week. Because when we think about those people that we yearn for and we want to see them knowing Jesus, like, you want the best for that person. You want them to know peace and freedom and life and know what it is to have Christ's power at work within them, right? There's nothing that you can do more important than praying for that person, for that person's heart. We talked with so many people. A couple of you, we had individual conversations this over the last few weeks about this thing. As a parent, when you see your kid not in love with Christ, it breaks your heart because you see the patterns and the behaviors and stuff, and it breaks your heart, and you do anything to step in there. But this is a heart issue, and you can do everything right as a parent and still if Christ doesn't grab their heart, then you're at a loss. You can do everything right as a parent, everything right as a brother, a sister, as a friend, a coworker, and still, if Christ hasn't done the work of grabbing that person's heart, then we can't do anything. You cannot argue anybody into the kingdom of God. You cannot reason anybody into the kingdom of God. The best thing that you can do for somebody that doesn't know God is to pray for that person. Pray for them, because Christ is the King of Kings. And it says that in Proverbs, that who can know how a person's heart works? Christ is the King of everybody's hearts, whether they've yielded it or not. Christ has control over their hearts and the hardness of it. When we saw what I was saying about Proverbs here is that he directs the pathways of the heart like a river. Okay? He directs what's going on in a person's heart. So you can appeal to Christ, who's always listening, who has all power and authority over all hearts. That's the best thing you can do for your friend who doesn't know Jesus. Pray for them. Love them as well. Present that gospel clearly. But most importantly, pray for them. If he doesn't do the work of grabbing that person's heart, then all arguments, reasons, like, it's not going to do it. So Jesus comes on Palm Sunday, extending this invitation to join him in his kingdom, to see his power at work, and a time of peace. Many of you guys have already yielded to him and joined him in this time of peace. And some of you have yet to do that, but you will one day. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Welcome him at a time of peace, because here's what's coming next. Revelation 19 says that Jesus is coming back again one day. When he comes back, it's not going to be in a time of peace. It's going to be in a time of victory, for sure. But Revelation 19 describes the next triumphal entry of Jesus. And this is when he's going to do his work of separating and judging the hearts. Take advantage of this time now, because this is peacetime with Jesus. When he's coming back, yes, still in all power, still in all authority, but the power that we saw under control in meekness and humility and gentleness at Palm Sunday is going to be power that's exercised in full when he comes back at his next triumphal entry. Revelation 19 describes this like this. I saw heaven standing open there, and before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a very different picture from what we saw on Palm Sunday. Same guy, different clothes, different beast that he's riding on, different set of fanfare. He's the King of Kings, and here in Revelation 19, this is what we're looking forward to, is he's coming in all power and all authority as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's going to do this, what he ushered in at the cross, he's going to bring his kingdom in fullness. And when he comes back, you're going to wish that you had made peace with Jesus at this time. Right? When he said, I'm the King of Kings, I want you to know me, because what you know in my life is good, is peaceful, is life-giving. There's a power at work in me that can be at work in your life too if you accept this invitation in this time of peace. Because when I'm coming back, peacetime is over. Now it's going to be the work of war, of separating and judging the hearts of men and women for eternity. We're coming to the end of this. I want to encourage you guys today, if you already know that peace of Jesus, you already have yielded your heart to him, find another place in your heart, because I'm pretty sure that we haven't all completely yielded our hearts 100%. Find that dark place where you haven't completely yielded yourself to him. No, make it wide open, like the pathway on Palm Sunday. Make it wide open. I'll usher him in there with praise, man. If there's something you're struggling about, go to him in praise. Prayer and worship in that place. Give that to him. Make it easy for him to access that place. Lay down the palms of victory. Say, Jesus, you already have victory over this area in my life. You have victory in this neighborhood, in this marriage, whatever it might be, like wherever that place is that Jesus needs to enter. If you already know the peace of God in your heart, find another place for him to reign victorious over. And if you've already known that and you've got somebody else that you're praying for and you're longing for them to know peace and life and freedom in Christ, then pray for him. Pray for her. Get together with members of the church and fast and pray with them. That's something that's so cool. I love seeing that, and I want to encourage you guys to do that. If you know somebody that needs to know Jesus, don't bear that alone. Get together with one or two guys, girls from the church, and pray for that person on a regular basis. I want to see what Christ is going to do in that person's life. And if you haven't yet yielded to him, you got to do that. He's extending this invitation in time of peace. I want you to know me, sin. I want you to know what I'm capable of in your life. I have all authority and all power. I'm not here as an enemy against you, but somebody that loves you and is inviting you with open arms. We're going to see at the cross. Somebody who says, I love you. This is what Ellie's been doing to us lately. I love you this much. What do you think that meant when Jesus did that? I love you this much. Like he laid out his arms because he loved you so much, he was willing to die for you. That's not a God that wants to set up rules and regulations and restrict you. This is a God that wants to love you and show what he's capable of doing in your life. He wants to bring freedom and peace. And he's saying, listen, one day you're all going to have to make this decision. I'm going to judge your hearts one day, and I'm coming back as a conquering king. Right now you have the opportunity to know me in a time of peace, to join me in my kingdom now. Otherwise, you know, what's coming? And I don't say this out of fear as a motivation, but just as a plea to you. This is like a time when you need to realize what he's capable of. He is the King of Kings. And his life in him is good. It is freeing. And there's community. There's so many benefits. Like, you do a cost-benefit analysis of a relationship with Jesus. It's a no-brainer. So I want to invite you to do that today. When we made straight the path for him, we made it wide and accessible. When we welcome Jesus in, there's no telling what he's going to be able to do with your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever it is. He's going to come as a King of Kings, rightful ruler, with all authority, all power. And today he's doing that in peace. God, we give you our hearts. We yield them to you. We want to welcome you into our hearts like the people did 2,000 years ago, welcoming you into the city as the rightful ruler of our hearts. God, would you make them steadfast, root them in you, anchor them to you. God, let us know what it is when you are fully at work in our lives. We pray for those that are among us and in our families and our neighborhoods that need to know you. God, we pray that you would do the work of softening their hearts so that they can know the peace and the freedom and the forgiveness, the grace and mercy, you know, that comes with knowing you. God, we look forward to your kingdom coming. We are expecting it, but we sure want to be on your side when that day comes. So God, I pray that you would do your work even in this next song and the rest of this day, of bringing us into your kingdom in peace, at a time of peace, when you are the rightful ruler of our hearts. God, we thank you and we pray in your almighty name, Jesus. Amen.